It's never been bigger.
Oh, big atmosphere.
More massive moments.
What about that?
Every massive match.
The energy, the electricity is building.
Massive!
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Our Thursday night footy, it is back, and we have got a certified blockbuster. It's Port Adelaide hosting the Cats. Both these sides, they sit 8-3 as they head into the second half of their years, and it's wins in games like this that really have a huge bearing on the double chance opportunities. It shapes to be a classic contest tonight. We've got a big game coming your way for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy. Ask your plumber to install the Ream steady, hot and strong. We've got a big team for this Thursday night clash. The former Port Adelaide captain, premiership star, and he used to have a bit of a pep in his step at times when the Cats were around, remembering back to his little left foot wobbly goal, Dom Cassisi, but he gets brought back to earth with the result of a few weeks later. How are you, Dominator?
Yeah, good to be here. Thursday night footy. And we didn't know if it was going to happen until a few days ago. It was, you know, the game was looking to be moved, so can't wait. It's, you know, both teams, 8-3, and can launch the second half of their season.
Former Demons and Adelaide star Bernie Vince, best and fairest at both of those clubs. He joins us tonight. Bern, pretty extraordinary what Geelong have had to go through in order to get this game played tonight.
Yeah, huge isolation and restrictions put on them. We've had coaches and players go into hotel quarantine. Gone through the ringer for this one, but didn't affect Collingwood last week here against Adelaide. So top four side, you'd think they'd be professional and just turn up and do the job. But Port Adelaide, this is their big opportunity. The knock on them is they go poorly against the top four sides when challenged, and when challenged, their contested ball and clearance just fall apart, and the difference between their best and their worst against those teams is a big gap. So this is a big challenge for them, and the only way to silence the doubters is to perform against the top four side, and they get that opportunity tonight. And I know they've played it down all this week, and Ken Hinckley's come out and said it's just another team, and it's still just 4 points, but it's more than 4 points tonight. I think they're out to prove the football world that they're a quality top four side, and to do that, they have to win or perform tonight.
Joining me in commentary, former star ruckman of the Adelaide Footy Club, Brett Biglands, 10 years at the top. And Biggles, how do you see this game shaping up in the head-to-head?
Oh, it's such a tight one to call, but we're going to get the answers to so many questions, Yates. Yeah, we're going to find out if Port's midfield is stronger at the contest. That's one of the bigger questions. Can the Cats' beefed-up attack with Gary Rowan in career-best form and a super stingy Port Adelaide defence, who's going to win that battle? And, of course, Geelong's experience, how much does that count on the big stage? So looking forward to speaking to Boris Enright and Michael Voss around the corner to get a few answers.
Yeah,
as well.
How's that? Six premierships between those two stars. They'll be joining us in our Triple M preview. Look, no doubt the headline news of the week has been Collingwood, Nathan Buckley parting ways with the Collingwood Footy Club, and it pretty quickly moves from Buckley moving on to trying to figure out who's going to take his seat. What are your thoughts? Where does this all sit at the moment? Firstly, Buckley moving on. I mean, we're 11 games into a season after they've been through to the finals again. They were nearly a kick away from a premiership a couple of years ago. They had a prelim on the back of that as well. It's gone downhill very quickly.
It has, and that's what can happen when there's change at the top. You know, I remember when Choco, you know, he pretty much finished off mid-year as well. There was a bit of movement in the board, and you rock up to training one day and it's like he's coaching his last game. So, look, the players get on with it. The players will adapt. The players will, I mean, obviously Harvey's going to take over. The players will just get on with it. But it's going to be a big change for the club. You know, he's been there for a long time. So, but like you say, it just shifts so quick to who's the next coach.
Bern, do you think Collingwood make a call on Nathan Buckley without knowing who they've got next? Does clearing Nathan allow them to approach other people that perhaps they couldn't have before, or is their man known to them, do you think?
Yeah, well, my perspective on things, I reckon Nathan Buckley's probably approached the football club and said, like, you know, we're halfway through this year, like a player would. We're halfway through the final year of a contract. I want to know what it looks like for next year. Am I the first priority to coach this football club next year? And that's a normal conversation. And I reckon the football clubs or the board, whoever has passed on the message or whoever he spoke to, has probably said to him, look, we can't guarantee you next year. And when you hear that as a player, I've never been a coach, obviously, but as a player, when you hear that, you think, well, I don't want to be here. If you're not wanted, you don't you don't want to be there. So I feel like that's sort of the conversation that might have happened. But by clearing him, what they've done is they've opened the door for someone now. They've cleared that up. I've initially found it a little bit of a shock. I didn't think they would have done it, or that the decision would have been made at this stage of the year. I thought they'd wait till the end, probably get a new coach. But by doing it now, as you said, it does open up the conversation to be had with other coaches. And no doubt, being a big club, they'll get the best, absolute best coach available, and they'll go hard for him.
It was the biggest shock because they performed after a win as well,
yeah,
against Adelaide side with everything stacked against them and everyone had ripped them off, and they had a win,
yeah,
which is the most confronting thing to, I think, a lot of the players who are under the guidance of Bucks, to think, well, we've just done our job and all of a sudden we've lost him.
I think the mindset changed a little bit when, I think it was about a month ago or four or five weeks ago, they came out and actually said they're in a rebuild, and until that stage they were still clinging on to this hope of making finals, and, you know, we're in the window and all this sort of stuff. I felt like they were hanging on to that a bit. When they come out publicly about a month ago, I felt like the narrative changed a little bit, and I felt like, oh, yeah, you know what? They've come out and said that. They've given up on their, you know, trying to chase this flag that they couldn't quite get a few years ago, and I just felt like Nathan Buckley all of a sudden came into the conversation about, well, maybe he will go on, and that's what the football world was sort of thinking. I think that's why it came to a bit of a shock this week to the football world, and certainly did to the players after hearing a few interviews yesterday and today from, well, the captain was one of them, Scott Pendlebury, is in a bit of shock to start with, but he's been at the football club, was it 23 years or something? That's a long time at a football. It's a long time in any industry, let alone to be at the same football club. So, yeah, it would come as a bit of a shock.
Dom, what sort of a coach do Collingwood need? Because as Bernie just told us, they're on the rebuild mode. Are there different coaches? So are there coaches that can come in and get it done when a team is, you know, maybe that year or two away, and then take them the next step? And there's also coaches, I'd imagine, that their skill set is around rebuilding, and then sort of like an Alistair Clarkson got, yep, going with Hawthorn. Are there different sort of coaches in that mould, or do you just get the best coach that you feel is available at the time?
Well, I think you got to assess where your list's at, and then see what the skill set is of the coach, that the coaches that are applying. You know, like, there's obviously a bit of work there to do at Collingwood. There's a bit of work to do at Collingwood in terms of player connection too. You know, Ross Lyon, obviously his name's getting thrown up. Peter McKenna came out and mentioned Choco. They're guys that are probably a little bit old, like, you know, obviously a lot older in age. Probably be a father figure to a young group. But then there's guys like Sam Mitchell, who, you know, you can see he's been to West Coast and he's coached there as an assistant. He's back at Hawthorn now, so well credentialed, understands the game really well, and a modern day coach, like a, you know, modern player management style, where maybe that's what Collingwood need. Maybe Collingwood need that younger coach to go in there, bring a lot of energy, get them rebuilding, get them going again. So, look, I think I wouldn't mind seeing someone like a Sam Mitchell get that job, you know, because he's paid his dues. Like, he's been, like I said, West Coast, he's been around successful teams, and he could do a great job there.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
That's as good as you get.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Thursday night footy, Adelaide Oval, and it's a big, big game. It's Geelong, it's Port Adelaide, and we're not far away from the opening bounce. A bit over 20 minutes for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy. We've got a couple of stars about to join us as well. Premiership players in their own right, and the first cab off the rank is footy royalty, Michael Voss, three-time Premiership captain, and of course he is the senior assistant coach at Port Adelaide, and we're about to take you down to him now. Vossy, welcome to Triple M Footy. Thanks for your time, mate. Here is Bernie Vince with the first question.
G'day, Vossy. Last week, or the previous week to the bye, you took care of the starch, a fast start, but the question on everyone's lips at the moment is, you play a top four side tonight. This is a big opportunity for the Port Adelaide Football Club. Kenny's played it down, just said it's another 4 points. How has the build-up been?
Oh, the build-up's been good. I mean, I guess the big thing for us is that expectations don't change on how we want to play. You know, what gets challenged the most is when you play against very good teams, is they challenge your system to be able to execute for longer. And we probably haven't been able to do that. And getting away at the start last week, like you said, is a good way to be able to do that. So, you know, starting against Geelong and starting well is very important.
Vossie, best of luck tonight. How far back when analysing the Cats do you look? I mean, are you looking back at the Metricon game last year and the flow of goals they got in the second half and how you would prevent that again, or is it basically just the quarterfinal this year?
No, we look at both games. They set up slightly differently in both those games, so from during the home and away to what they did in the final. So we look at both scenarios. We have a look at this year, whether there's been any changes. As you expect, they've got a pretty solid system that they run with, and they back it in like most sides do. So it'll be really good at what they end up going with in the first, first quarter, I guess, and then we'll play it out from there.
Plenty of firepower up front for Geelong. Hawkins, 25 goals in 11 games. Cameron, 18 from just 6 games. Who gets those roles tonight?
Well, the big guys will roll through them at different stages. Certainly, Trent did a great job in the final, so he'll get a look there. Jonas has had periods of time on Cameron before when he was obviously at GWS without Lee, so Lee, he'll roll through there as well. So, we're not sort of too particular on those guys. I mean, we have to look after them at different stages. We want to play an 18-man defence and but we've got to rely on what the pressure is up the ground as well. So we want to make sure that there's plenty of heat on the ball so I don't get as easy a look.
Big Dicko gave you a real fire starter effort against the Freo Dockers in the centre bounce. Will he start again there tonight?
Not sure what the plan is. That came up quite late last time, so they might end up coming with it again, I'm not sure. But look, I mean, the thing is that we've got a multiple group of players that can come through there. We obviously want to get Charlie going early for the team, and he brought that real energy for us. But we'd like to think that he can still hit the scoreboard for us in the first quarter if he starts up forward.
Hey, when you're being challenged, Vossie, contested ball and clearance becomes an issue. How do you coach that during the week, or is that a more of a mindset thing?
A bit of a mindset, but I would probably put that over most teams. Whenever you lose momentum, and normally when you don't have it, is the thing that challenges you the most. Normally that team gets on a roll with contested possession and how they're able to hold the ball. So just so happens that Geelong challenges you both for most of the game. So we have to make sure that we're on in that space. Everyone would have seen the numbers that Geelong are producing around the contested ball at the moment. So we have to make sure we can at least break even in that area.
They're producing some good scoring at forward half stoppages as well, Vossie, and Tomahawk's a big part of that. What's the instructions for Peter Adams to try and break even against the Hawk?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I don't think there's a side out there that doesn't try and plan for it. But the fact is that he's a big fella, and we have to make sure that we can at least nullify that. It's probably more just when he's able to grab it out of the rough. If he grabs it, then he'll get a shot on goal. So pissed off to be really careful there. Whoever comes through there, whether that's Charlie or also Todd Marshall at different times if he's rucking against them. So it's something you have to be mindful of.
Hey, obviously, Orazio Fantasia went out with that injury or that knee. Boyd Woodcock gets another opportunity tonight.
Yeah, he'll be the medical sub. So, we'll hope that he doesn't actually get used, actually. So, we hope that he stays on the bench and keeps warming it. I mean, he'll do really well for us if it's needed. But obviously, it'd be a nice situation to be in if we don't have to call upon it as well.
Vossie, it's a heavyweight battle, mate. No doubt about it. It's a big game. Thanks for joining us on Triple M Footy.
Yeah, big game, guys. Thanks, fellas.
Well, you'd think if I have gone the boundary, Greg Blewett was down there and actually doing his job, he would have told us who the sub was so far. So
no, we all knew, Bernie. You were there.
How did you know?
Everybody knew. From the 15,000 had already arrived. Everyone knew Woodcock was the sub. And you've said, well, great to get his opportunity, isn't it, Vossie?
Oh, and you thought Bergman wasn't playing tonight. So how are you going?
That is absolute rhubarb.
Oh, the Amy Clangers, they're out and happening very early here on Triple M Footy. Hey, big game. Cats and Port Adelaide. Dom, where are these two sides at, do you reckon? Like, they're fighting it out for top four at the moment. They're both 8-3. But you have a look at their last few games, and Port Adelaide, they had a good margin against the Dockers, but they didn't really play well for a couple of those quarters. They got over the line by a point against Collingwood and were beaten here by the Bulldogs. And Geelong, they had a 10-point win against Collingwood last week, and before that it was a 5-goal win or whatever it was but that was in Geelong against the Suns. Mm. And before that, they beat the Saints, but if the Saints kicked straight, they could have won. So how do you sort of analyse these two sides coming into this?
Well, they're a bit similar in many ways. Like, neither team have really found their mojo or played at their best yet. And both teams had a bit of injury issue and suspension and stuff like that. But They'll be both teams would be looking at just kicking off the second half of the year in a big way. You know, Kenny's spoken about they've been good, but they need to be great. He needs to find a way to get his players to play better, because if they're going to dish up tonight against Geelong what they did against Freo, they'll get beaten. They need to tighten up around the footy. But, you know, the thing is, it's a really hard one to pick, because Geelong haven't won a game in interstate this year. Post a bye, they haven't won one post bye game.
Eight games, I think.
Since Scott's been the coach for 8 years.
One last year after the bye. I reckon you stuff that one up. It's 8-1.
No, there's 0-8. 0-8, you can confirm that. I'll check that one up.
Biggles, that's two mistakes.
We'll come
0-8. So Geelong are, you know, 0-8 post bye. They haven't won interstate. Yet Port Adelaide, their starts have been really poor against the top four teams. So who knows where it's going to end up?
Yeah, tough one to pick, isn't it? It's two teams, obviously, not in the best of form. But this is what good teams do. They survive, or they find a way to win. Sometimes it's been ugly. Port have won ugly. Geelong won ugly, as you said last week. Yeah, against Collingwood pre-buy. So, I mean, we hope, and there's everyone walking into the ground right now, hopes that both teams bring their best and we see a great fight for this win. But it's just, as Dom said, it's a tough one to pick. Both pretty good teams around the contest. We've seen Port be really poor against the top four teams in that area, though, so they'll be setting themselves. And I still think Port. I trust Port. I think Port win this, but as I said, going to be very close.
What about, this is probably a question we can throw to Boris Enright, but when you've got, say, four players coming back in, like the Cats have got some real talent in their top 22 players, really, that they would be starters. Dangerfield is a bit underdone. Will he play a bit more forward, do you think, tonight?
Yeah, he's got to fit in with the other three tools they got there as well. They got Rowan, and obviously the other two are going really well as well. Kicked 25 goals, I think, Hawkins so far, and 18 goals to Cameron. So, I mean, where does he fit in that? It's almost a rotation thing. None of them can go through the midfield. So you'd think they'd sort of just ease him through, maybe spend a fair bit of time through the bench.
So is there any balance between bringing players in and having team cohesion? You know, does it change the chemistry when you got... I know they're good players, but you've had sides that are connecting as a team together, playing week in, week out. I know a few of these players have only missed a couple of games, but bringing this many back, does that have an effect?
I think it can definitely have an effect, because, you know, I mean, Dangerfield's been out for a fair while. I know he's a superstar of the game, but you just need to be off a little bit just to be able to get exposed, you know, in terms of your touch. Not only, like, how many times you get the footy, but it's your touch around the contest as well. So that could be one advantage for Port Adelaide. You know, they've still got a young team. But they've been a bit settled. You know, Geelong have made five changes, and that can maybe take them a quarter or two to get into the play.
I can't believe you ran with the wrong stat twice, but they actually beat the Dons last year after the bye. So I just want to fix that one up straight away. So they're actually 3-13 post bye going back over the years. So, but anyway, Dom, we'll move on for that. Just don't run with it twice.
You don't look like you're moving
on. No. I'm still not buying it, mate.
Oh, my God. Hey, but let's talk about the record being broken tonight, which I find quite amazing. From a football point of view, when you've got a talented family that can pull off what the Selwood family has done, with the brothers breaking the VFL AFL record for matches played, it's just incredible that they can contribute, especially having the season that Joel Selwood's having at the moment, averaging 25 disposals per game, which is the most he's had since 2018. He's only missed a final series once in his 15 years. And can you believe Chris Scott actually played with Troy, of course, at Brisbane. Mm. And when you put that in perspective, those numbers and what the family has achieved is incredible, Bert.
Yeah, big night for the family, isn't it? Because certainly on that list, there's some super talented families. The Danaher's, I think, are right up there as well. So, I mean, he'll know that. He'll know it probably won't affect the way he plays, because he goes hard at it and he gets up for every game that he plays. And just an incredible, speaking of just Joel individually here, just an incredible journey, hasn't it been? He just stepped straight into that Geelong side, won a flag, I think, in his first year in 07. And just being a leader, I think even him, his captain, his games, his captain, he's right up there now. I think he just went past Stephen Kernahan for Carlton as well, or just coming up to him. So, I mean, he could take over as the most games ever as captain as well if he went on next year as captain, which you wouldn't think there'd be much change in that area for Geelong. So, certainly a very proud day for their family, Biggles.
What about the coach of the Cats, boys, Chris Scott? Would he be a man that Collingwood could go after? Now, I know, you know, he's right at the top of the tree.
But really rattling the cage here.
Well, I mean, he's been there a decade. He's a premiership coach there. He's got the oldest list, the oldest team on the park that we're seeing tonight. is it time for him for another challenge? Because the rebuild will probably happen somewhere, given the age of the list that he currently has. Is Chris Scott a person that you'd consider at Collingwood?
Well, the question is, if I was Chris Scott, is the window for Geelong's probably another 2 years. So is it worth giving up what Geelong have got right now, playing in, obviously in a grand final last year, up at halftime in that grand final, just got beaten by a very good Richmond team. Is it worth giving up that two-year window of potentially winning a premiership or maybe two, or putting yourself in the position to start again with a team that's going to be down for a little bit? Got an exciting young list, Collingwood, no doubt, but they're the sort of questions you've got to ask yourself if you do go for that role.
I think the other thing that Scott has to take consideration is how settled his club is. You know, the Geelong, from the top down, they've always had their stuff sorted. Yep. You know, when you think about the last 15 years and they've been, you know, everyone's been saying, oh, they're going to drop off because they're ageing this, but they keep hanging in there.
Yep.
And it's going to be, it's a big call for a coach to leave an organisation that is great from the top down to go somewhere where Collingwood, that is a bit of a rabble at the moment. So that's another big call they take consideration.
It's become a destination club, hasn't it, really?
It has.
That's how they've hung around, because they've had teams or players come to this football club because it is successful and it's a great place to be.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, how big was that? Thursday night footy, we're not far away from the opening bounce for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy. Bertie Vince, Dom Cassisi and Red Biglands will be heading down to Greg Blewett shortly for Bob Jane T-Marts. Bob Jane T-Marts, get monster deals on the world's top tyre brands. Visit bobjane.com.au. But time right now to head into the Cats camp, and a three-time premiership star from Geelong, assistant coach now at the Cats, is Corey Enright. He's been kind enough to give us some time just before the game. Boris, thanks for your time, and here's Dom Cassisi with the first question.
Corey, all the best tonight, mate. Obviously, a unprecedented week, you know, with the COVID protocols that you guys had to abide by, particularly the last probably 2 or 3 days. But I guess more importantly, you guys, you know, coming off a bye, you're 0-8, you know, since Scott's been the coach. How are you going to turn that around tonight? What's been the discussion behind closed doors?
We've been more about obviously focusing on the task at hand, and obviously there's been a few things that have popped up along the journey the last sort of week that we've had to deal with, but it's been more about obviously we sort of put aside the first half of the year and looking forward to obviously start the second half of the year and start tonight. I guess the quality opposition on their home deck, and we're really excited to be here, and hopefully we can start the game really well.
Hey, just following on from Dom's question, Boris, did you quarantine at home with the family, or did you ditch the kids and head into that hotel?
Get a leave pass.
Mate, that was a great question. we had to, the rules suggested that if I was going to be any sort of husband or father, that I'd get out of the house and allow the kids to go to school, mate. So I had the 2 nights in the king bed by myself.
Oh, well, very well played. Hey, just following up from that, what was training like this week? Because obviously you went into the lockdown. Were you able to get a couple of good sessions away still?
Yeah, no, we were pretty good, mate. Pretty fortunate. Obviously, being in Geelong, we're only 5 minutes away from the hotel itself. And it was most of our guys, actually, probably is about 50-50, I reckon, stayed at home. And people without kids and obviously some without partners, was just business as normal for them, and obviously go to training and go home. So it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too much of a disruption in our training. It was only sort of interrupted for the last sort of couple of sessions. And it was all good. We were quite fortunate, really, in that regard.
Now, Boris, you've won four or five in a row now, and some massive wins tonight. Narkle, a bit stiff, obviously, to go out. 25 disposals last week. Was there a chat at match committee about too many changes because the team seemed a bit settled?
Yeah, it was. It's a tricky one, and we felt like obviously Dangerfield and O'Connor were the ones that have missed a bit of footy, but the others haven't really missed too much. Mitch obviously missed a week, and Blitzar missed a week. So in terms of who we brought back in, it was only those other two, and obviously we've been keeping a really close eye on them over the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks anyway with their training crews, and they were probably pitched towards this game post-bye, so it gave us a good chance to bring those guys back in. And obviously, Narkle was unlucky tonight. He's had a really good month of footy, and he's there if we need him, and he's right to go. Probably just, it's a luxury at the moment that we've got so many midfielders putting their hand up.
Hey, Boris, Tomahawk gets targeted so much inside forward 50, but now you've got Jezza Cameron and Gary Rowan there. Has there been an instruction to the midfield now to not look to Tomahawk so much because you've got those that three-pronged attack, which you haven't had in previous years?
Yeah, it's a balance. Obviously, Hawk's been a dominant focus for us over the journey, and he still is. He draws a lot of attention, obviously, from the opposition and also from our boys, because they're so programmed, they're probably looking for him inside 50 a lot, he's such a big presence down there. But yeah, we feel like we've obviously got different avenues with those two that you mentioned, and Asada Radagalia, when he rolls down there, he's a big aerial threat as well. So we have got some variety down there. It's just a matter of how we use them and making sure that everyone sort of gets involved and we share and spread that load as best we can.
But we've seen Port Adelaide get ripped open a bit when teams get on top in contested possession, and I mean, your boys are ranked number one. Is it as simple as that's how you're going to beat Port Adelaide tonight, really smash them in the contest and go from there, or how are you planning to beat them?
Yeah, I think, mate, most games are probably won and lost around the contest, but obviously the way that they play, that's their hallmark, really. They start their game from the contest and spread it out from there. So it's going to be hot. It's going to be on early. The side that can obviously get the ball going forward and keep it there for long periods, it's going to probably go a long way to winning the game. And that's the strength of Ports, particularly in the last month, with their ability to keep the ball in their front half, get it there and keep it there and punish the opposition. So, the contest and who gets it going forward is going to be critical.
Hey, Boris, you said O'Connor was one of the ins tonight. Does he get a role? You don't have to say who it is, but is he going to someone?
Oh, he will. He will go to someone, but obviously the tricky one is with the way that they sort of structure up. They have obviously a lot of high forwards roll through the middle, as well as their mids rolling forward as well. So he might have a couple of matchups that we try and keep an eye on rather than just the one.
Well, Corey, it's a big game. We can't wait to get it started. Thanks for joining us on Triple M Footy.
Thanks, boys.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.